It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Monday. Hope everyone's having a great start to their week, along with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today from the First United Bank studio. We're with you until 6 o'clock. We'll have Red Raider basketball with Mark Adams coming up at that time here on Double T 97.3. Now, we'd love to get your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your gripes, concerns on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can access that at DoubleT973.com through your internet browser of choice or through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973. Gus, you having a good start to your week? I know it's pretty low-key, relaxed, you know, week for you there. Yeah. Nothing really going on?
Nope, not at all. Yeah, good, going good. You really can't be distracted by the weather, I guess. Just maybe prepared for it, but of all the, you know, we had a little two-day cold snap, whatever, in December, and then, you know, about 40 days in the 50s right here, and first Wisconsin tomorrow, and might snow.
So, open up and dump.
Exactly. Because of course. All right. Yes, exactly.
Because of course.
Exactly. So, well, I mean, really. But
what all do you have in the way of snow utensils?
You know, when we first moved, you know, I was a little kid, mm-hmm. kindergarten, first grade in Champaign, Illinois. And we had a sled and I don't know what all, parents would have to tell you all that. But when I was, and by the time we got here, I think the 4 years in Alabama, that sled might, you know, probably get sure. used much. Yeah. And then we got here. So somewhere along the way, a lot of that stuff just went away. That, you know, it seems like to me the folks that have the most sort of tire chains and that kind of stuff are the ones that get over into the mountains. I mean, really, you know, and really the just the snow stuff by itself isn't terrible to drive on. I'm not, it's not a picnic, but you stay away from the icy kind of mess. I mean, you know this.
I mean, you got a windshield scraper.
Yeah, I mean, that's about the extent of it these days. Because a lot of times you can just make an adjustment to not go out in it or leave early and chill out and take your time and whatever. But I mean, just think about it. That was what was such an anomaly about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago here next month, that, when it was below freezing for 6-7 days and affected the whole state and
sure.
shut off.
No, I remember
all the problems.
Yeah.
Had it too. I got a shoulder surgery out of it. It was awesome. But the, you know,
like did you find a coupon or something?
New. Quite the opposite. Unplanned. You probably don't have much being a Houston kid.
So the last time, so 2 years ago, yeah. you know, I don't, what do, I've got a windshield scraper. That's it.
Yeah,
well,
that's about it.
I ended up buying a snow shovel after the fact.
Oh, yeah.
So I have that in my toolkit for tomorrow, if needed.
I've got a little, it's basically just like a, I don't know, a waist high, flat edged shovel.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably better for picking up dog crap than anything else. But like that, when it snowed, just kind of carving a path from the front porch to the mailbox. And at that very moment, it didn't really help a lot. It's still kind of lined with snow and ice. But the next day when the sun, you get a little dry path and got an older neighbor living next door, and I'll go do that for him just to, so he can get the mailbox. And again, that day, it's not crystal clear and
sure.
dry, but as soon as the sun pops out, you know, and so I've got a little mini West Texas version of a snow shovel that's adequate. I fully support the idea that we're not all built for this stuff because it just doesn't happen that often. I mean, when it really comes down to it, now we all like to say all the things, but oh, if you don't like the weather in West Texas, just wait 10 minutes. You know, like, yeah, but the reality is it's 50 degrees and sunny most every day this time of year. then we'll get a little 2-day snap, and then it'll be back to 50 degrees, right? What is it? What is it later this week? Am I right about that?
Friday high of 50, and then Saturday high of 62.
There you go. Perfect.
Super nice.
Good.
Clint, do you have a big closet full of snow accoutrements?
I mean, I really don't need a snow shovel at the apartment, but I've got my snow boots still, got my snow winter like.
Will you please wear your snow boots tomorrow?
You might.
Okay. Well, they're really more of just like hunting boots that I use as snow boots. Oh, okay. Sure. Like I don't have like the knee high.
Because I don't have anything that really fits well as in terms of a. This is not going to surprise anybody, but like in terms of a closed-toed shoe for snow, I just have sneakers.
I think I have an extra pair of hunting boots if you want those.
What size are your feet?
12.
Maybe. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Picking up dog crap, how I feel about this basketball season.
Well, I didn't intend it that way. That was your interpretation, but I understand.
The Raider. I mean, it's... Listen, man. You're Ofer. You're at the bottom of the standings. You're all alone in the basement. You're 0-7. You do play West Virginia at home on Wednesday. You hope that's a chance for a victory.
I mean, we called that OU game here one of the better chances for victory back at the time, and that was the game that riddled with injuries. And so this one here probably remains the last best or next best opportunity for a win. And I hate to say that, but at this point in time, and it's amazing how these dudes have been. Now, that's also the nature of this conference. It feels like no matter which side you're on, really, really good or really, really struggling, most games still come down to the last 5 minutes. And that's been the case with these guys. And the fact that, you know, they go up 8, K-State pops a timeout, and I think from that point on they were outscored like, you know, 26-7 or whatever it was down the stretch. And it's just I mean, there's an element of just, I mean, in the end they're not getting it done. There's an element of try too hard, you know, Pop forces a three, and just, you know, just various things around the list. And you can just feel the sink, you know, you can feel the sink and the feel the sink as it's unfolding. It's just tough, man.
And you wonder what the crowd will be like tomorrow, or on Wednesday, rather.
Yeah.
Especially with potentially, you know, some lingering effects from tomorrow's snow. This in the channel, and I just got done picking up dog crap. More fun than watching these conference basketball games. Yeah, I mean, at this point, you would need to win 9 of your next 11 conference games just to split even. That's not going to happen. You would need to go on just a crazy good run just to kind of salvage a decent conference record at the end of the season, let alone, like, I'm not even talking about make the NCAA tournament or even the NIT, but just to make it look something somewhat respectable, you would need to win, you've got 11 games left, I don't know, 7, right?
And never underestimate the heart of a champion.
But are these guys champions? Like, is this a team full of champions? I don't think so. You know, it is what it is, and it's just it's a bad basketball team, or at least it's a bad basketball team in terms of how it compares to its peers in the Big 12. You miss free throws, you lead 3 of these games at the half, and you lose them all. Inopportune turnovers, you're not getting a lot of production out of your kind of senior returning player and Kevin O'Banner. It's a mess. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there, it's The Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. Time for some headlines. Red Raider basketball with Mark Adams returns for its final show of the season, 6 o'clock tonight at Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue. Red Raiders are 0-7 in the Big 12, so I'm sure that everyone involved in this production is more than happy to see it conclude for the season tonight. Just a hunch. They're 10-9 overall, coming off of a loss at Kansas State. Tech will host the West Virginia Mountaineers on Wednesday. 6 o'clock tip-off from the USA, a little earlier than normal. Our pregame coverage will start for you at 5 here on Double T 97.3. In the Big 12 tonight, a pretty interesting basketball game in Waco as the Kansas Jayhawks will visit the Baylor Bears. Jayhawks took a loss over the weekend, a big one, to TCU
at home
in Lawrence,
yeah.
Arguably the worst conference loss of the Big 12 era for KU.
I mean, it has to be at Allen Fieldhouse. That's what I said to you when I first saw you, is that that was the worst performance overall, offensively and defensively, in Allen Fieldhouse in conference play, at least in a decade, if not 2 decades.
You hate to see it.
I know.
For the first time in the 47 year of the Associated Press women's basketball poll, this is very interesting. I never would have guessed this. No team from Texas is in the top 25. A 47-year streak, 835-week run, ended because the Longhorns fell out of the poll this week. Wayland Baptist, Stephen F. Austin, and Baylor appeared in the first poll in 1976.
Wow.
And from that point until this week, there had always been at least one Texas team in the poll. Finally, Dallas Cowboys Pro Bowl running back Tony Pollard suffered a fractured left fibula on Sunday that will require surgery. He sustained the injury in the first half, late in the first half, of the Cowboys' 19-12 divisional round loss to the San Francisco 49ers. You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Clint, is there any news on your terrible neighbor who is mad about your dogs barking?
Oh man, revelation.
End of times?
Yeah. The rapture happened to her.
Wow.
From me. That's what happened. No,
not surprised.
Turns out she is as crazy as we thought she was.
Allegedly.
So
he's trying to protect you here, Clint.
So we talked to the first lady that is at our office, and there's two. And shout out to Diana, who's like the best. She called us after we had talked the next day, and she was like, "Yeah, we talked to your neighbors, and they haven't heard anything, and they haven't heard a dog." And then we called her neighbor, and they haven't heard anything, and they haven't heard a dog. So we called her other neighbor, and they haven't heard. And it's like, "Yeah, we don't know what's happening." She's like, "Yeah, well, we never thought it was you." Like, the other person pretty much straight up said, like, "Yeah, we believe her. Do you know your dogs are barking at 3 a.m?
Right.
And then started describing a situation like where our dogs weren't even there. So it's like we validation. I'll just say this. Validation. Drama over.
That's a shame. I was kind of counting on that for this week's content. This is the chat line.
I mean, we're going to court.
Yes. All right. This is the chat line. Is it time to think that Adams is not the guy? I mean, what's his Big 12 record? What were they last year? They were... why is it not showing Texas Tech? Big 12, 12-6 last year, is that right? Yeah, so now he's below 500. Yeah, I mean, draw your own conclusions. This in the EH Flooring Center chat line. Watch out. West Virginia is desperate for a win, too, and looking at Wednesday night as a great opportunity. That's from our friend and Spiro T. Agnew, Richard Nixon, Truth or Texter Gary. I mean, and heck, things are going – it's a mess up there, too, in Morgantown. They fired an assistant coach during the season. Bob Huggins has said, "I didn't really have much to do with that decision." And then I guess after their loss on Saturday to Texas, they lost to Texas, right? Anyways, they lost. I know that.
Yeah.
69-61
at home.
And he's like, "You know, there are things going on about which I can't comment, .." And, you know, that just kind of makes your mind wander a little bit. So it's not all rainbows and sunshine in Morgantown either.
Yeah, and I would think that, I mean, I never underestimate the heart of a champion. But, I would think that Coach Huggins is just near the end in terms of, you know, like Coach Knight was, Bob Knight was at 2008. You know what I mean? Like, again, I don't want to underestimate him, don't know him, but just how much is left for him? How relatable is it? All that. I mean, how hard is he? How much is he driven at this point? I know he wants to win and all, but just, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be stuff that, as you get closer to retirement, that just bothers you and distracts you and irks you and these kids these days and that kind of stuff. It's like, got to be. And it's not like they've been on some tear lately. No. It's been a slow demise for him and it hadn't clicked for them in a while, and I wouldn't say he'll have a statue out in front of the building, because the best, I don't know, I'd have to think about that. You know, he played there, and I don't think he was a great player there, but he coached there, and he's sort of native son and all, but he didn't win championships there in a way that they would be putting statues outside. But just good hire and a good run there and all that, good competitive teams for a good stretch.
Got them to a Final Four, right? That was as close as they got.
That's true. I forgot about that.
And that was, fairly early on in his tenure. 2010, he took over in 2007. Coach of the Year in the Big 12 in 2015. I think he gets a statue.
Okay.
I think that him being a West Virginia guy,
sure,
and being very, like, I don't know, out front about being a West Virginia guy and kind of speaking to West Virginians, et cetera. We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our friend Jerry, who says it's after 3 on January 23rd, 2023, and we still don't have a football schedule. That's true. You don't. And we'll talk more about that later on, I promise. This in the chat line. Somebody says, all the teams are good when you're the team that's over. This in the chat line. What if the delay of the schedule release is actually due to the new members all wanting to play both Oklahoma and Texas in that next season, if that's their last season in the Big 12?
I can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure they would want to, but I can't imagine the league office would be really giving in to that. Just got here.
Well, because, I mean, ultimately, the schedule, much like a lot of these conference membership questions, are de facto put together by the networks, right? Not that somebody in Los Angeles has a Google sheet fired up and is placing teams here and there, but the networks, your media partners, they're not really paying you all this money for Cincinnati and Houston to play each other, right? They want Oklahoma, Texas. They want Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. They want Texas, Texas Tech. They want Texas, TCU. They want Kansas State, Oklahoma. And so you would just be gimping yourself and irritating your media partner by acquiescing to those requests. I think you put together the best, fairest, most competitive schedule while also highlighting the games that generate the most ratings for you. And plus, like, the new members are at the bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
In terms of, you know,
eyeballs.
Well,
generated.
But in terms of, like, you know, street cred in terms of equity, in terms of, you know, capital. No, hey man, you just got here. You don't, have to tell me where to sit.
Right. They don't have the capital, and they also don't have a history of, you know, with any, man, we got to get that BYU Kansas game.
No, like if you had brought Notre Dame in,
right, different.
Red carpet. Pardon me, Mr. and Mrs. Irish. What can we do for you? Do you want to play all home games? We'll make that happen. More Tech Talk next.
the podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hello there. How you going? Happy Monday. Hope everyone's off to a great start this week alongside Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We'd love to hear from you today. Whatever you think, whatever you want to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. I did not know this, Gus, and this actually came out last week, and somehow I didn't see this until after our show on Friday, so my bad. But did you guys know that the legacy Big 12 members, right, the eight Big 12 members that are currently in the league, that will still be in the league, or at least are on track to still be in this league 3 years from now, they are taking money out of their own pocket to help fund the arrival of Houston, Cincinnati, BYU, and UCF.
Is that to pay off buyouts and contractual stuff on the other end?
I don't know. According to Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, he says each of the eight legacy Big 12 programs agree to forego $16 million total, $8 million for 2023-2024, so $8 million per year, in an attempt or so that the four new members can receive around $18 to $19 million annually, right? And wow. So the legacy members are taking a hit, so that the new members can get kind of a head start. And then once the new media deal kicks in, you know, you go back to being whole.
Yeah, so I guess it'd be more of an opportunity cost in that sense, but still,
it's an investment.
It is, yeah, no
you're,
doubt.
You're investing in your new members.
In the preservation, the preservation of the Big 12 brand, right?
And so, you know, people are piecing together, or they're connecting dots that may not be connected, but they're dots, and you know, certainly there's a delay in the schedule, and so we're trying to draw these conclusions. There's an idea that maybe if Texas leave early, if there's a negotiation and those programs leave the Big 12 early, the buyout that they would have to pay would go toward making the eight legacy members whole. Right, so that Texas Tech, for example, is not missing $8 million out of its distribution check.
Interesting.
You know, for 2023-24 and 2024-25. How do y'all feel about that? Are you miffed that you're giving up some scratch?
I mean, it's like you said, it's an investment, and it just is. If it was gobs and gobs of money, I don't think it would have happened. I don't think that either in the form of a negotiation or whatever, you know, however that was played out. But I mean, I think this may be akin to you know, way back in the 60s when the NFL said, hey, we're going to pool our media rights, and you know, this is for the good of us all. You know, along those lines, you know, that what we're talking about here is good for the good of us all. And you know, you know, and it may very well be the kind of thing that helps fend off a, you know, a Pac-12 call to the big BYU, for example. You know, something along those lines that you know, we didn't leave those teams hanging out there with a big old pile of hate or whatever, or stringing them out and, you know, putting them through a really tough stretch to get in this conference, that, you know, they're eager and willing and, you know, seeing a financial win in it. And we're all doing our part to make it work, I guess. I mean, that's just a very on the very surface way of viewing it. But, you know, the whole idea maybe that their win is our win, right?
What if, and I've seen this speculation increase in recent days. In fact, mostly just over the weekend. What if this delay isn't as much about a negotiation that would allow Oklahoma and Texas to leave a year early? What if the delay in the schedule is because the two sides here, and really it's more than two sides, right? It's the legacy members, it's the networks, it's Oklahoma and Texas, it's the SEC. But what if the delay is because there's negotiation going on about leaving immediately?
Oh, wow.
At the end of this academic year.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, it wouldn't, of course. Oh, I see what you're saying. That'd be part good grief.
A lot of moving parts.
I mean, yeah, a lot of moving parts.
SEC has already released its schedule.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The only stick to that would be the SEC releasing their schedule that everybody, and you know, it would be getting late. I mean, for the member institutions of the SEC to go, okay, just throw that thing out and, hey, all you hotels, you know, I mean, because that ends up being the deal. I mean, go look for a hotel. Go look at that SEC schedule. Sure. And go look for a hotel room on those dates on the home weekends. It's the same way here. Start, you know, go start digging around for hotel rooms on home game weekends. I'm not talking about Murray State, but, you know, the Oregon game and stuff. People start looking at that and booking stuff and, you know, just getting stuff lined up. You can always cancel it later, right? But if you came in there and said, psych, we're not doing it on that day, we're doing it on this day. And, you know, if you get here in Lubbock, and I don't think I'm speaking completely out of turn here, but if you get the weekend where Lubbock's hosting the UIL cross country meet, the region deal, they really try to keep that. I mean, there's not much they can do about it, but when it doesn't fall on a Tech football weekend, mm-hmm. that alone will almost fill up hotel rooms in Lubbock. Years ago, that was the case. It was a monster hotel weekend. It was always a source of frustration when it would fall on a Tech football weekend. And again, I'm going back probably 15 years with this story. It may still be the case. It's like those rooms went to post and, you know, teams would get as close as they could, stay, and then drive in and right. run the race and then leave. But if you had that situation where football was opposite that, you know, and then all these rooms are booked up by the cross country, I mean, you can't just say, sorry, Grapevine ISD or whatever, whoever. You know, I mean, you can't undo a football schedule. I mean, that would be – I don't even know. That'd be brazen beyond. That might even be beyond the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, and because it wouldn't just be tearing up the schedule, right? That they've already released. It would also be agreeing on a format, for the schedule moving forward as they move to a 16-team conference. And unless this has changed, as far as I know, they have not agreed. And heck, we even detailed this on Friday how there's kind of this divide in the SEC, and I don't know how polarized they are or how far apart they are, but there is a divide in terms of, you know, the haves and have-nots and how they want to structure that schedule. And so that would seem to be a pretty big hill to climb. But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we're still waiting on the schedule, and I've read more and more from more and more people that Oklahoma and Texas just, they have no interest in playing the four new programs.
Yeah, I think I can see that.
Their stance is, hey, those guys are part of your future, not ours.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, my response would be, hey.
Good, enjoy Cincinnati.
Kick rocks.
Yeah,
here's your schedule. you're more than happy, I mean, more than welcome to forfeit if you'd like. So I don't know, man, like, If end of the month is a firm deadline, and up to this point, none of these timetables have been firm. They've been quite flaccid. You know, we're a week away.
Yep. That's what I was gonna say. End of the month. End of the month means early next week.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting. We'll have a high school fans on for you. Speaking of very interesting, for you at 6 o'clock. Tonight on 100.7 The Score, hosted by our very own Clintonian Scott. What's on the docket for this evening, Mr.
Basketball.
Scott? Talking the sports?
Yeah, boys basketball for all three tonight.
Okay, how about that? More Tech talk next.
podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. With Gus and Clint, I'm Aaron. We're with you today until 6. We would very much like to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the benchmark hotline. We get this on the chat line. Somebody says, well, the schools really need the schedules to come out more than anyone for travel arrangements that are made very far in advance.
Yeah.
I mean, these football teams charter.
Yeah, I don't think that side of the travel is. I think the hotel's a bigger deal than the airplane. Yeah. But your point is that it's probably less difficult to undo a game here than it is to stick one in here 8 months out, right?
This on the chat line from Bullfighter. He says, your favorite bullfighter survived 150 plus bulls this weekend with nothing but bumps and bruises. Hopefully the rest of the year will be as good.
Yeah.
Wow. This in the chat line from Texter Gary. I haven't heard anything about the Pac-12 teams that were rumored to be considering coming to the Big 12. Are those discussions dead, or is it still possible? We talked a lot about the four corner schools last year. It does seem like that talk has died down a bit, Gary. You know, it's interesting. I don't know what it means, but I think it's interesting that the Big 12, despite a flurry of reports, no doubt sourced from the Big 12 itself, anonymously, of course, that in November, right, that mm-hmm. the Big 12 had reached a new agreement with ESPN and Fox for a TV deal. They entered very early negotiations before even their exclusive negotiating window began and cobbled together this new deal. They were very excited, according to reports, but that's not really been officially announced yet.
No, that's right.
Which is interesting. And then the Pac-12 still has not had any kind of news about its TV deal, and not even a report saying that it's done, like the Big 12. So I don't know what it means, Gary. I think if I was putting my own money on it, granted my track record with wagers in the last couple of weeks are not, it's not great. I would say they're sticking with the Pac-12 for now. But I mean, especially considering the Big 10 does not seem primed to continue expanding at this time, right? Warren leaving, I think, is a clear signal that the Big Ten presidents, or at least a sizable chunk of them, have no appetite for further expansion because they don't want their own, mediocre brands diluted further. Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, Rutgers, etc. By the additions of a Washington or an Oregon or even maybe like a North Carolina down the line.
I feel like, and who knows, there was a lot of versions of that, but I feel like just in our conversation here in the studio, we always associated four corners with Big Ten expansion. At least once that conversation had matured a little bit and played out, and you know, we sort of read a lot of informed opinions and whatnot about that. I don't think we ever felt strongly that a four corners or even two, you know, even the two Arizona schools or whatever were coming to the Big 12, or that would really be laid out there in a big aggressive way were the Pac-12 to stay together. You know, I think the next most interesting move may be to see what the Pac-12 does with regard to their expansion. Do they, you know, that we know they've, I guess they've made their move to San Diego State, but was that formal or is that what is that speculated?
No, speculative.
Yeah, speculative. Yeah.
I think the Pac-12 has a similar problem that the Big 12 had, in that the Big 12 had three pretty clear, obvious choices for expansion, and then not as clear of a fourth choice. In that, hey, UCF, BYU, Cincinnati made perfect sense, and then Houston, okay, you're close by, you've got some ties here. We'll throw you in too. Pac-12 has the same problem, right? San Diego State's a no-brainer,
right?
From their current perspective, bit of a gap there though. Right? I mean, Fresno State doesn't quite have the same cachet,
right?
Fresno State to me seems like you know, clown college. No offense to clowns, and then SMU, interesting, but also like super far away.
And it's amazing, and we're really rehashing stuff we talked about last summer. But it's amazing how many lists and things go straight to SMU as the obvious number two behind San Diego State. You know, I gotta get some of a footprint in Texas because we went through all that. And it's like, dude,
right.
I mean, I guess SMU has a bigger footprint in Dallas athletically than Rice does in Houston, but is it, how much different is it? I mean, that DFW is not run by SMU. I mean, and it may be them looking at, well, our options are Fresno and, you know, UNLV and whatever, and them looking at that as SMU and go, well, you know, plus they can clutch their pearls
different.
About, yeah, they can play the academic card on SMU and go, oh, a like-minded institution, very academic. Yeah, okay, we know how important that is.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line, somebody says, Oklahoma and Texas may need a lot of money to fire football coaches. Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman had an interesting column over the weekend where, you know, he more or less said, listen, if you're going to be taking lumps, right, if you're going to be going 6-7 while Brent Venables kind of rebuilds this thing in Norman, wouldn't it be better to be taking losses from LSU and Tennessee and Alabama, et cetera, than, you know, West Virginia and Texas Tech, et cetera, right? And, you know, that kind of makes perfect sense, especially if you expect to be taking losses.
Well, I mean, but, you know, so what's he saying? Let's get there early?
No, I think he's saying, like, and it with Trammell, I mean, he
didn't
barely
pull any punches
around or in, so I'm curious if this is kind of him riding around
working
something
an angle,
that he kind of knows,
sure,
but can't really report. But yeah, his thought was, hey, if you're going to be losing, might as well lose to LSU and Tennessee and get paid a lot of money for it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
This is the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Texter Gary. Why is everyone worried about the football schedule? I'm going to go see the Red Raiders play no matter the opponent.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I would really, my just personal, very, very personal, even take radio guy out of it, my very personal end, if somebody would just text me and go, okay, we've got home games on October 3rd, October 17th, November 2nd, that's really what I want. I mean, now I want... Radio me wants a schedule to talk about, okay, and all of the things that come with it, because the basketball team's struggling. We all know that. It gives us something to talk about.
Yeah.
It gives us something to talk about. But personal me would just like to – I'm kind of a calendar guy, kind of a little OCD about the calendar. It would legit help me to be able to go, okay, home game there, like to put it down like – because this past – I mean, and this is – there's nothing pressing on this on January whatever – but, you know, this past fall, Dane and I went to Chicago for a little three-day weekend. You know, those are the kind of things that we can be eyeballing. I mean, the very first thing I'll do, depending on the schedule, there's a chance that, you know, Brooks and I would go right back to St. Louis the last weekend in September. Tech doesn't have a home game to be there for Adam Wainwright's retirement. You know, that's just how I roll. But again, that's just a personal side of me, not talk show guy. But I'm with the Texter in that I really don't care who they're playing. I'll be there and buy my season tickets. as we know, we discussed that the other day, season ticket renewals are out. So, you know, renew them and let's go to the house. Let's go watch some ball.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Joining you today until 6, alongside Gus and Clint. Aaron, Clint is so distraught over his Jayhawks losing to TCU, he's now eating beefaroni out of a can that he bought at a gas station. Cold.
Well, I went and microwaved it.
Oh, okay.
That makes it so
crap, dude.
Hey, man. You eat what you want to eat, I'll eat what I want to eat.
Oh, I will, yeah. That will never be beefaroni.
So are you more of a, like, SpaghettiOs guy, or, like, do you go, like, straight raviolis?
Raviolis good.
I'm not eating pasta out of a can.
Oh, wow.
See, I don't really view it as pasta. It just kind of is what it is.
It's kind of
thing. Yeah. Ugh.
6 grams of protein.
So
that's
you're
what
saying
it is, Aaron.
A chef didn't boil that and hand pack it in that little can in there?
I'm sorry, Mr. Boyardee, but I'm not going to be eating any of your disgusting pasta.
Wow.
I'm going back to that gas station because this wasn't al dente. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Of all the things, if you'd have said, where will AD draw a line? You know,
the
dietetically,
meat is gray, dude.
The dietetically no, speaking, I would have gone, AD would be more of a, you know, he'd be more of a McRib snob or something
no,
like that.
I'm
surprised by the.
I'll eat a hot dog at a convenience store.
And see, that's what I would have said. Like, you would have been the right age to have grown up on some Chef Boyardee stuff out of the can. And so, which is my deal. I don't know what possesses him to do it at age 30, eat that crap, but...
Satan is what...
It's called What Was Available.
Oh, man.
What, the Pop-Tart?
That it's delicious.
The Pop-Tart line was empty?
That
the crap,
describes my
man.
dating life in college.
and so, the so you know, but...
What about
yeah.
beefaroni? Does that describe the girls?
Where oh, man. Where you would have drawn the line. I'm surprised. See, that's the thing. I'm not eating meat out of a can. I mean, not like what are the little sausage things? What's that crap?
Sausages?
Oh, God dang.
I don't think I'm necessarily eating meat out of the can right now, but no. I understand what it is.
You're definitely not. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't, that's not the feature of that dish that Clint's got going is the meat.
What is the feature of that dish?
Well, it's noodle. It's a pasta thing. That's the feature of it. I mean, it's about the noodles, but you know the I can't imagine the I can't do it. I don't think I'm doing any the Vienna things. And there was a time that I did that. Any kind of spam concoction would have to be cooked pretty good, like grilled or something. Maybe it'd work on a camp out or something. But dadgum, man.
I mean.
I'm a little
How
surprised.
Long did you have to nuke that for?
What's the package
30
say?
30 seconds.
See, you can make
on
a sandwich.
High?
Yeah.
You can make a sandwich in basically 30 seconds.
But then I would have to bring the sandwich stuff.
I did.
Put it in a Ziploc bag.
Dana threw a sandwich in a bag. She was making her lunch, so a sandwich in a bag, some pretzel things, and some strawberries in a little bowl, and that's what I ate today. Wholesome, right?
Yeah. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our friend Opa in sunny southern Denton County. Last week, you two were chopping up who is the smarter between the two of you. As you started to talk out, I had some dog chaos outside and missed your summary. Would be interested in the outcome. I don't think we were... It wasn't.
No, there was no competition.
No.
We talked about the morning guys talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
We're definitely smarter than them.
Yeah, we'll take them. I think the... I would love to team with you on some sort of a trivia type thing or some Team Jeopardy crap or something like that. Not the Family Feud stupid thing, but like
I'd love to be the good answer person for you guys. Oh, good answer, good answer.
I don't ever watch the show, but I will watch the heck out of some like curated Family Feud reels on Instagram. Like the really funny ones,
sure.
You know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I got you.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
Go ahead.
Cole DeFerroni, weed strain. Steven says, this AD, if the choice is SpaghettiOs or death, you choose death? No, I mean, I would eat SpaghettiOs versus dying.
I'd eat beefaroni before SpaghettiOs.
I mean, I want to live.
Probably all coming from the same place.
Right, I want to see the end of The Last of Us. I want to see Ant-Man and Quantumania in a few weeks. I want to finally see the freaking Big 12 schedule. So, no, I would eat whatever slop you put in front of me.
Wow, so that crap comes out next week at 80. Okay, I can die now. We're playing Oklahoma State. All right. I can go.
This in the chat line. We know Dickens isn't poor. This on the chat. Why is that?
What's that like?
Am I being? I don't think it's new to say that beefaroni is gross. There's plenty of cheap things you can eat.
You just said you'd eat a truck stop hot dog and the little roller things. So yeah, that's probably what I wouldn't do. I don't know. I don't know why I would say it's better at a ballpark because it's the same little roller doodads. But I probably haven't. I can't imagine. I can't tell you the last time that I've eaten plenty of stuff at the I don't know what to call it, truck stop, convenience store, highway places.
I would think
places.
That movie theater hot dog is more questionable than a convenience store hot dog.
You think it's been there longer? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. See, I kind of give, and this is, I like the movie theaters. I'm going to one in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're locked in.
I would think, because what's, the people that work there generally are younger folks, right? And having been a younger person myself, long time ago. shut up, Clint.
Like long time ago.
I know that my care factor for things like, you know, swapping out hot dogs on a roller, probably not super high. Whereas I think the fine folks that work at the convenience establishments, I think they would care more a bit.
Well, and the other thing might be other if they sell more of them, that it would just turn itself over a little more.
What kind of psychopath buys a hot dog at a movie theater?
Yeah, that's a, those should be buying the little snow caps and the boxes of Spree Swedish and stuff
fish,
like that.
Popcorn.
Swedish fish. Lutefisk? They serve that at the AMC movie theater?
Like the little,
did
know,
he
like
say
little,
Swedish
little
fish? What in have the blue not, hell is that?
Have you not had Swedish fish before?
No. Little red gummies that just look like a fish? It's not like canned tuna.
I will actually have some at home. I will bring some tomorrow.
So is it?
But no, I'm not talking
it's
about
like
the
a little gummy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, a little red cherry kind of gummy deal. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the fish
you
that, where
it.
You can't open it inside because
the stench.
Right, like that's the
crap
that
he
choice likes.
Which is the crap he'll warm up tomorrow down the hall.
Jeez,
Clint.
Yeah, I bet you wish it would have been beefaroni.
I've actually looked at buying some of that just for like a laugh, but
just
it's
for
fairly expensive.
It's way
it's like storm strugan or something like that.
Ugh. I thought it was lutefisk. That's the stuff that they would bury it.
That's the wrapper.
Yeah, I know. That they would bury it in the
ground. Surstrømming. Yeah, Baltic herring.
Crap.
Fermented. Yeah. During the production of surstrømming, just enough salt is used to prevent the raw herring from rotting while allowing it to ferment for at least 6 months.
I thought that was
just enough and fermented. That's the favorite two words of the fish.
I thought that's what lutefisk was, the same kind of thing, that it's just
luta.
The stank.
This is the chat line. Stank. Bobby Hot Dog says, AD thinks that cheese weenies are a delicacy, but turns his nose up at Chef Boyardee. Absolutely.
Gus, I was with you. I was pretty shocked that he was anti-Chef Boyardee.
I'm like, genuinely.
Cheese weenies requires you to actually use some culinary skill, right? Dicing up onions.
From scratch.
Right? Different ingredients. There's nothing good about popping a container into a microwave. And then hoping it's actually like, you know, from a cow or something.
I do remain surprised. I'm not going to lie.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.